Friends in Christ and friends of Bethlehem, the last few weeks, as you can see by these large banners up front, we've been taking a brand new look at what we have been doing all along and putting a name to it, an identity to our place here that we call Bethlehem. Rethinking our mission in a very strange and tumultuous year, it pretty much makes us have a reset button. And so to remember the joy that God is really doing with our church and our community, we take a good look. As followers of Christ, as we seek to reach out to one another, we know that we are, as always, guided by the light of Christ. Just like those wise men way back when Jesus was born, we too continually seek the Savior. We look to see where God is active and already doing the work. But more specifically, we do so in these three big key words: serving, shining, and sharing. We know serving, as last week we talked about how we can think about all the wonderful things we do in-house as God serves us here and as we can serve one another. Specifically, today is all about shining, just as we sung, right? We're not too old to sing "This Little Light of Mine," and you guys did it well. So let's talk about shining. And not like the movie. That's totally different. Shining, as it implies, we already heard about it in today's reading from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. And one key verse that I'll show for you today: do all things without grumbling or complaining, that you may be an innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. And guess what? When you do that, you are among whom that shine as lights in the world. And we see that familiar image of our Bethlehem star, our logo that's pretty much everywhere, that's in the midst of our mission statement. We not only look at the star of Christ, that we look to where hope is born, but we see that star and we can see our reflection. You can see yourself in that star because you, my friends, are stars. You may not be a movie star, but you twinkle and you glimmer and you shine by your words, your actions, and your works of love. And the beauty of it is that we can do that. We can be empowered by that because we know that's what Jesus already has done. This particular passage, Philippians chapter 1 and chapter 2, we hear of Jesus giving that example, that he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, and yes, even death on a cross. Having that same likeness and mind among us, we can have that same comfort of loving one another, even in a world that seems twisted and crooked. We can shine. But I can help you even get a good picture of that today. A good way of seeing how you shine is specifically in our youth. We've seen that just in today and last week. The start of our Sunday school energizes our church, our youth. You are our shining examples. Everybody from our preschool on up. And I want to take a moment today to introduce to you a video. This is our preschool director here at Bethlehem, Mrs. Sue Davies. She's the daughter-in-law of our members, Marion and Dick Davies. She's got a really good perspective about how she sees Bethlehem still shine today. So here, without further ado, is Mrs. Sue Davies.
Hello, Bethlehem. I'm Sue Davies, for those of you who don't know me. I'm the director here of the Preschool and Child Care Center. I like to think Bethlehem and I found each other. About 10 years ago, I met Pastor Banky through my mother and father-in-law, Dick and Marion Davies. And Pastor and I got chatting about what I did and had a great conversation. And then as time unfolded and the director position opened up here at Bethlehem, he gave me a call and asked me if I wanted to be a part of the interview process. So I went ahead with it. One of my dreams professionally had always just been, if I was going to minister, I wanted to minister in my own community and the community in which I lived. So having grown up right here in Wales and I'm raising my family in Douseman, Bethlehem was a great fit. So March of 2021 will actually be 10 years that I've been here with Bethlehem. In the past 10 years, I think we have worked really hard to create an amazing family within our school walls. I've watched it blossom into something that I think that all of us can be very, very proud of. We look at our families, our students, our staff, all as just simply part of that extended family. Each of them is a blessing to us. Each of them is something that we need to nurture and care for. We are blessed with such a dedicated staff. This is the best team and most dedicated group of people I've ever worked with. We are dedicated to each of the families, each of the children, and making this experience for them the best that we possibly can. I'm proud to be a part of Bethlehem, and hopefully today we can learn a little bit more. You guys can learn a little bit more about what we do, so you can be proud of it as well. When I was asked to speak about some of my inspiring moments, one of the things that I thought about right away was very early in my time here at Bethlehem, I had a mom walking down to my office, clearly feeling a little overwhelmed in that moment. She strolled into my office and started to really open up about some of the struggles she's had at home with her husband and parenting, and they didn't have similar styles and techniques for parenting, and she was just really in a place where she felt like it wasn't working. So we spent a long time talking things through. She went up, went about her day, and I went about trying to find resources for their family. So as I shared them over the course of the next couple of weeks, we continued our dialogue, and I just, did some check-ins. And the moment that I realized that Bethlehem Preschool and not only the children we serve, but the families are part of this ministry is when I saw her walking down the hall with a different light in her eye. She just looked more peaceful. I watched her interactions with her child, and it was just more relaxed and joyful. And that was just simply when I thought, we really, really, really do make a difference. So that was early on in my time here. So I like to think that we've just continued on that path. And while stories are different, that was the one that really kicked it off for me. Another story that I like to share, and it's multiple, but kind of melded into one, is when kiddos walk through the hallway and you hear them talking about the lessons you taught or the Bible stories that you shared. And sometimes you'll hear them reminding their friends or even sometimes adults just how we should be acting and how we should be treating others. And there's a lot of inspiration, I think, that comes from that as well. And lastly, my most recent moment of inspiration that stands out, and I hope it will for all of you too, is I received an email just last week about a family that was just grateful for their time here. They were just, their child was really settling into preschool. And their child was saying prayers at mealtime, and that meant a lot to the family, and they also shared that they were going to start attending Bethlehem as their place of worship. So I think that's something we would all hope for, that connection. So it was really great to see that right off the bat here this year. So we look forward to more of those experiences and more of those inspirations. I think these stories that I shared, those are the reasons I do what I do. These are the reasons that I truly feel like we make a difference. I think not only do we serve our community and our families and our children, I think we shine God's love through our school and through the interactions that we have with all of them each and every day. So we are hopeful that you feel the same way. On behalf of all of us here at Bethlehem Preschool, we would like to thank all of you for the opportunity to be a part of this ministry. Thanks and God bless.
God is working in every facet of Bethlehem, and as he is in every facet of your lives. So not just from her testimony, and don't just hear it just from me, I want to welcome another member here of Bethlehem to share a personal testimony. He has been an elder, he's been a leader of our church through the years, the past 20, 30 years. He's seen some pretty big changes within Bethlehem. He's been a member, he has been a member at a different church body, and then he's been a member here again. So at this time, I'd like to welcome up Mr. Tom Gitzloff. He's got some fun testimony for us today, and a really good story in three different parts that he'll share with us. So welcome again, Tom. Thank you, and for being our one more shining example.
Good morning. First of all, Pastor, I'd like to thank you for the privilege to share my history with Bethlehem. As you said, it's been 39 years exactly since I've been involved. We walked through that very front door in 1981, and when we did, Judy and I knew that Bethlehem was meant to be our church home. As I reflect on my journey, I need to be honest, it always hasn't been that easy. Life has presented me, as it does for all of us, with many different paths to be taken. And I'm not always sure I took the right one, but no matter which path I chose, God traveled with me. Of that much I'm certain. Reflecting back, I can see that my journey has had three really distinct phases. The first was what I call the years of preparation and maturing. These were the years where I learned to serve our own congregation and where our sons grew up in the faith. Along the way, I learned some very valuable lessons. Then came the years where God opened my eyes to the mission field at large, to see that it extended way beyond the doors and the walls of 470 Oak Crest Drive. And now finally, I'd like to think I'm in the third phase of my life, where I'm learning to put all of these two previous phases together. They're all, without a doubt, codependent upon each other. So phase one, the years of maturing and preparation. As I said, Judy and I came to Bethlehem in 1981 with our oldest son. Ryan was 2 years old at the time. I was a whopping 27-year-old kid wet behind the ears. And I'm under strict instruction right now to leave Judy's age unsaid. But before I go further, I need to share that Bethlehem and I had crossed paths previously at a much younger age. You see, I grew up at St. John's North Prairie at a time when Bethlehem was their mission church. Pastor Lewis shared many duplicate functions between the two congregations, including confirmation. In 1968, I was confirmed with kids from Bethlehem. That was 1 year after the original sanctuary was built. Later on, I taught Sunday school and would travel to Bethlehem for joint teachers' meetings also. But the years moved on, and I went on to college, after which I took a job in West Virginia. I met Judy there, and I was hooked. I chased her until she caught me. And the rest, as they say, is history. But never did I dream that God's plan was to reunite me with Bethlehem. But reunite us, we did. He did. So back to 1981. The year previous, I had started a new job that would span a career of over 30 years. We had bought a house in Dousman, worshiped at Bethlehem for the first time, as I said before, and we never really looked back. We loved the friendliness and the energy of the congregation, just like many of you. Also like many of you, after we joined, we flapped around in the water a little bit, trying to feel comfortable and find our place. Privately, we were struggling. Judy had three miscarriages, and we decided that it was time to talk about adoption. Pastor Schaefer was our confidant and guide as we began to apply through Lutheran Social Services. In fact, he was the second person Judy called to share the good news that she was once again pregnant. Our second son, Matthew, was born in 1983. He was premature, and Pastor Schaefer performed his first emergency baptism. Actually, the nuns at St. Joe's were in a tizzy because they couldn't find any holy water. Pastor assured them that he didn't need it and confided later that he was glad, actually, that they couldn't find any. But then came our third son, Jeremy, a mere 15 months later, a picture-perfect pregnancy. Whatever had been wrong seemed to have corrected itself. So well, in fact, that another 15 months later, we had our fourth son, Patrick. Now the pendulum had swung the other way, and we were worried that there was no stopping it. Be careful what you ask for. Three kids under the age of three in diapers, cloth diapers back then, and we were overwhelmed. But we settled into a routine. Judy left nursing to be a full-time mom. I went about building my career. And together we set about raising this family of crazy, wild boys. In those days, we all dressed. I mean, really dressed for church. Judy still does, but for me and the boys, it was suits and ties every Sunday. Everyone had play shoes, school shoes, and church shoes. And the church shoes moved down the line quickly. We always sat in the last pew because inevitably someone had to be taken out of church to have their behavior corrected. This was the perfect location for Matthew, who by this time had emerged as the ringleader of the younger two. When it came time for the children's sermon, he always had a secret plan on how they would return to our pew in the back of the church. One Sunday it was hop on one foot. The next Sunday it was skip. One Sunday it was walk backwards. The congregation eagerly looked forward to what the Gitzloff boys would do on any given Sunday. They were certainly a good warm-up for Pastor's sermon. But time went on, and Judy and I knew that God expected more from us than to just warm the pews. So we became more active in the congregation. Judy started teaching Sunday school. In fact, she taught third grade for 16 years, and then she went on to be Sunday school superintendent. I began to use my people and management skills and oscillated from chairman to vice chairman to the board of elders and back again. Our kids became active in youth group and started attending national youth gatherings. Bethlehem had added the addition wing, the education wing, which is now the preschool, and remodeled the sanctuary to allow us more worship space. We'd added staff with a second pastor, a youth director, and a director of education. Sunday school attendance was well over 100. God was clearly blessing Bethlehem. But then came our first speed bump, and it was a big one. Our beloved Pastor Schaefer died unexpectedly, and we went into vacancy. As chairman of the congregation, I became chairman of the call committee, and along with it came my first dose of real humility. I thought we'd have no issue attracting a pastor, with our vibrant congregation and a perfect location in a growing community. I couldn't have been more wrong. God left us in vacancy for 2 full years. Finally, we called Pastor Clater, fresh out of the seminary. Pastor Clater and his wife, Amber, were a breath of fresh air. Young and vibrant, full of youthful ideas, we reveled in them. Then we decided to undertake the most ambitious project of all, this sanctuary, with a full basement, Sunday school rooms, music rooms, the youth room, a place for everyone, we declared. At that time, it was to be the crown jewel of Waukesha County. Build it and they will come, became our battle cry. Only, it didn't happen. Again, God had more lessons to teach us, and learn them we did. We had overstretched our wings, and we began to live for the mortgage. Slowly, we cut back on our giving to missions until we were no longer giving anything. The year was 2006, and many of our lives were about to take yet another turn. Judy and I were about to enter our next phase. But before we move on to that phase, I'd really like to share a word of encouragement to our younger families. We were in your place too at one time. We understand the pressures of building careers and raising a family and the demands on your kids to be involved in so many activities, some of which happen on Sunday mornings now. They can seem daunting. My advice is to take your time. You'll know when the time is right to get involved in church. Just don't be afraid to take it when it comes. Every Christian parent has a burning desire for their children to grow up with a strong faith in Jesus and ultimately to be saved. Proverbs 22:6 tells us, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and in his old age he will not depart from it." My advice is to hold fast to that promise. It will play out eventually. Not always on our time, certainly, but it will play out. But part of that, I really believe, is how we model our lives also. Where do we invest our time? If our kids see that we're committed to our faith and our church, they will be too when the time is right. They're always watching, and our kids will always do as we do, not as we say. So on to phase two, the years of learning to serve. In September of 2006, Judy and I, along with 5 other families, decided to leave Bethlehem. I was an elder at the time, and the other 5 families were all in leadership roles. There were many issues with the direction the congregation was moving, with Pastor Clater's execution in the ministry, and with the leadership of the South Wisconsin District. None of these issues are of particular importance anymore, but they prompt us to make what turned out to be a watershed decision. Both our act of separation and the manner in which we did it had a huge impact on both Bethlehem as a congregation, as well as on our group that left. Be- Because we were committed to Missouri Synod doctrine, and because we knew that we were unlikely to be welcomed by any local Missouri Synod congregations, we decided to form our own church. We called ourselves Acts 2, after the book in the Bible that talks about the early church and the fellowship of believers. We held ourselves accountable to strict Lutheran doctrine, and we met for worship on Sunday mornings in the Genesee Depot Lions Club. Several other families from Bethlehem followed, and eventually Acts 2 was worshiping around 50 members. The only problem was we didn't have a pastor, which was no small detail. So several of us began to preach. What an eye-opener that was. Hours upon hours of preparation and delving into the Word, Saturday nights and Sunday mornings in prayers. I'll never look at another pastor again without the deepest respect and admiration. But because we didn't have a mortgage or a pastor's salary to worry about, we suddenly found ourselves in a position as a congregation to reach out into the community with both our time and our finances. And the more we looked, the more we realized that Waukesha County, as wealthy as it is overflowing with need. This period of time was important for me in that God finally opened my eyes to the bigger picture. Previously, I had waited for the mission field to walk through those doors and present itself to me. But now I walked out those doors and out into the mission field to those who either didn't know Jesus or were hurting. I was very familiar with Jesus' words as recorded in the book of Matthew, where we read, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you healed me." Then the righteous shall answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger, invite you in, or needing clothes, and clothed you?" Then the king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for the least of these, my brothers, you did it for me." And now I was about to truly understand the truth of these words. So I offer the following three quick examples of service in which I became involved during this period of time. The first was a big group event which we participated in annually. Acts 2 had become involved with a poor non-denominational church in Waukesha called New Beginnings. New Beginnings strove to reach out to the unwanted people of Waukesha County. They did this through hands-on ministries that met both their physical and spiritual needs. One of the events was called A Season of Giving. This was a Christmas event designed to present needy families with brand new Christmas gifts. This was a huge undertaking as we would begin soliciting donations in early October. But soon enough, the big day would come when we'd open our doors to hundreds of needy families who had lined up for literally blocks. The second example was a solo event. I volunteered as a friend at Richard's Place in Waukesha. Richard's Place is a halfway house slash hospice for AIDS patients. My friend was a man named David. Because he had experienced a head trauma at some point in his life, David had very few filters. He was gay and had led a very promiscuous life, about which he wasn't shy in sharing. I brought him with me to worship at X2, took him out to dinner, and just learned to love him. We truly became friends. The third example was a small group monthly activity. This was an Alzheimer's Bible study. This is truly my personal favorite. We held the first one at Linden Grove in Waukesha. It was a simple Bible study designed to jog memories of the faith the residents once had. The study itself is kept simple with a brief scripture reading followed by a familiar song. Most of the residents can't read, so we sat next to them and held their hands, turning pages and paying attention to their needs. We always ended with singing their favorite song, which was "Jesus Loves Me," and then holding hands and joining together in the Lord's Prayer. Even those who were in wheelchairs and apparently comatose are seen moving their lips to "Jesus Loves Me" and the Lord's Prayer. I knew that if only for a moment, we'd return them to their faith, which they once held so dearly. Beyond that, there were many other outreaches, again with no connection whatsoever to an organized church. all just showing the love of Jesus. It was truly an amazing point in my life. But as the Bible says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heaven. And by 2011, the season for Judy and I was ending. Acts 2 was not growing in numbers and had no growth strategy for spiritual outreach. Their model, in our estimation, was not sustainable beyond the lifetime of their members, and Bethlehem was calling to us. Pastor Banky had made it very clear that we were welcome back. Shine and Share seemed to be thriving, and we knew we still had bridges to repair. Time does not heal all wounds. So phase three, ministering to all God's people. On April 11th, 2011, Judy and I returned to Bethlehem. We had new friends to meet and faced another time of finding our new normal. Judy returned to LWML and Sisters in Service, which was something she had sorely missed. I ventured on a missionary trip with a group largely from Bethlehem to the Dominican Republic, again, strengthening old relationships and developing new ones. We continued with our Alzheimer's Bible study at Linden Grove and opened a new one at Three Pillars. It was my fervent wish to spread this outreach effort to congregations throughout Waukesha County. We participated in Shine and Share, and we look forward to more in the future. Jesus calls us to reach out, and we look forward to increased efforts on Bethlehem's part. We hope to see church defined as so much more than just four walls. I have once again returned to the elders. I was privileged to sit with Greg Stein as co-chairman of the call committee and to work with a very dedicated group of members. I was amazed to see how quickly God answered our prayers with Pastor Burst. I could feel the Holy Spirit burn in my heart when we met him, and I know that God is going to use all of us here at Bethlehem to his glory. I'm a simple man, really, who loves his family and friends with all his heart, who deeply loves and cares for God's people. And as God has taught me over time, this includes far more than those who just sit in our pews. None of us knows how much time God has allotted to us on this earth. But I do know one thing, and that is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to thank you for this opportunity to share with you my story. God bless us all as we move out into the mission field. As a favorite hymn says, let none hear you idly saying, there is nothing I can do, while the souls of men are dying and the Savior calls for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. And as we've heard from Sue, as you can see that we reflect the goodness and mercy of God by showing we are Christians in so many ways. Whether that's with your family, whether it's with our littlest ones with all of our wiggles and giggles and back, we love it. Whether that's with your workplace or here at Worship at Bethlehem, think of this time and this time forth to shine.